Happy Resurrection Day to you. Oh, God bless you, man. Great day to come and celebrate. A couple quick announcements. Women's studies on tomorrow night here at the church. Wednesday night, guys' studies back on here at the church. So business is usual as far as the midweek services. But what a day to come and worship a king who's risen again. And how blessed are we and how privileged to be. Is there so many people out there following lies that God's grace and truth has opened up our eyes to see our need for Jesus Christ and to follow a true living Savior. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before your throne, and it's been such a privilege and an honor to bring you worship this morning. And now, Father, we pray that our hearts would be cultivated, Lord, and that you would be able to write your eternal truths into us, Lord, and to allow these principles to speak into our lives. That they might impact us, Lord, as your people here on the earth. So I pray, Father, as we have your word, Lord, and as we study your word, and as we obtain this knowledge through your word about you, that it's so important that our hearts are open to experiencing you. And we want to just invite your presence here today. Lord Jesus, you're the guest of honor. And we don't serve, Lord, we know that you're not some dead historical figure, but you're a current living Savior, and that you love us. And we pray that you'd speak your truth into our lives, the things that we need to hear today, the things that you want us to know. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that today's message is a message of hope because we serve a God of hope. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn to John 20 with me if you want to. We're going to be all over the place today. My prayer this morning was, Lord, just take this crazy brain of mine and bring some order into today's message. So we'll see whether he answers that one or not. If you leave here scratching your head, I don't know. Maybe I'll resign. I don't know. All right, we're in John 20. I'm just going to extract some resurrection thoughts I had. You know, I've probably taught the resurrection message probably 25 times. And you know what? It's a wonderful old message that never gets old. You know, it's a message of hope, and it's a message of great encouragement for our lives. But as I was contemplating the resurrection, I felt like God spoke some different things to me this week, and just some things I want to tee off on this week. But as you are in John 20, stay there. I just wanted to read something to you. I'm going to read a little bit out of Mark's account, okay? You don't have to turn there, but this is what I want to read. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said unto themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And they looked, and they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And as I looked at that this week, and as I was pondering on that a little bit, look at our lives sometimes, they just throw us huge obstacles. There are things that come into our path, and they might impede progress. And there are things that are bigger than us. They're heavier than us. They're very oppressive, and they can be very difficult, and they can seem like they're dead ends or whatever they might be. They come in different forms of discouragement, maybe a relationship that's gone bad, maybe a bad doctor's report, maybe some financial difficulties that might enter in. And sometimes we wonder, you know, like, what are we supposed to do? You know, how am I supposed to handle this? Life threw me a curveball. I didn't see it coming, and it's really hit me in the face, and I'm not sure how to handle this. And as I was looking at these ladies, and so often through the scriptures, you just see the devotion of these godly women. And a couple of things that I wanted to just point out in the situation that I find them in. First of all, they're going forward towards Jesus, okay? They're going forward towards Jesus. Brokenhearted, weeping, probably hopeless. Okay, these are the things that are taking place eating, but we've got to put skin on these people. We need to realize they bled like we bled. You know, they had emotions like we had emotions. They went through things the way like we go through things. But I see something in them. I see them a devotion that they just keep pressing toward Jesus in spite of all the things that would be holding them back, in spite of their emotional state, in spite of the wrong that they just saw take place to their Savior. and they keep pressing forward towards Jesus. And you know what they do? They're bringing a sweet offering of love. They have these sweet spices that they're going to anoint his body with. And I'm going to tell you, just keep offering Jesus the sweetness of your soul. Keep offering him sweet praises. Keep offering him sweet service, sweet devotion. Whatever it might be, keep pressing towards him. Keep bringing your sweet offerings to Jesus and prioritize him. Make him first in your life. Keep him first. Look what it says here. It says that in very early in the morning on the first day of the week. You know what that means? There was a number one slot, and Jesus filled that slot in their lives. You got a number one slot in your life. I'm telling you, let Jesus fill it. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to see those obstacles and those stones that you can't roll away. You're going to watch God take care of them. Because we serve a God that rolls away the stones in our life. A God that rolls away the obstacles and the things that impede us, that we might be able to enter into a greater form of life that we're even currently experiencing today as we walk with Jesus Christ. Prioritize him. Bring your sweet offerings to him. And keep pressing towards Jesus. John 20, that's where we're going to be. Now, one of the things that I was encouraged about today, because this is a special day just to remember, but we don't celebrate this just this day of the year, that as Christians, we recognize that our Lord is alive every day of the year. He's involved in our life every day of the year. And as we think about Resurrection Day, one of the things that I always think about is, you know, this could be the last Resurrection Day that we celebrate here on this side of eternity. Because with the things that we see taking place in the world in which we live, you know, we recognize that this living Lord ascended back up into heaven and said, guess what? I'm going to come back for my people. So we are really on the precipice of God doing some great things in the church age. And there's a chance this could be it, man. So I'm praying today that our hearts would receive the encouragement that we need from the scriptures. And maybe you came today because, you know, it's Easter and it's a church thing. And maybe you've known religion and church and all that stuff, but maybe you never encountered this resurrected Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him and you know about those Jesus freaks out there and those people that carry their Bibles, but he's never become someone that's real to you. Well, he is here today to transform your life because that's what he does. And he's there to fulfill your purposes because that's what he does. But the greatest thing of all is he's there to forgive you of your sins because that's what you need. Because he wants you to spend forever with him. So verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was dark under the sepulcher. She saw the stone was taken away from the sepulcher. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto him, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So we see here that Mary saw something with her eyes. She drew a conclusion with her mind. Okay? She saw something with her eyes. She drew a conclusion with her mind. And Peter went forth and the other disciple, they came to the sepulcher. They ran together and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and it was so important for John to put that in there. He wanted us to know that he won the race. It's a guy thing, trust me. And he went into the sepulcher and he saw the linen clothes lying in a napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed. But verse 9 says, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. We see Mary here. She saw something with her eyes. She drew a conclusion with her mind, and it caused her to be hopeless, discouraged, and sad. And this, I believe, is what happens in the life of believers when we allow sight to overrule faith. It's very important for us as Christians that we recognize that the whole Word of God impacts us and prepares us for the circumstances of this life. Here's the reality. They were told in John chapter 2, destroy this temple. 3 days, I'm going to rise it again. John 16 tells us that Jesus said, "And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you." He told them, "They're going to scourge me. They're going to put me to death. And the third day, that I am going to rise again." So all along the way, Jesus was teaching them and preparing them for what lied ahead. And we see here, we see great discouragement when we should have saw great jubilation. It's amazing because even the unbelieving religious sector knew and remembered that Jesus proclaimed that he was going to rise from the dead. But that truth that was sown into their life, they didn't allow it to impact the people that they were. And we find themselves in this situation of being discouraged. It's very easy to get down. It's very easy to lose hope. It's very easy to have our joy stolen from us when we allow our sight to overrule our faith. As Christians, we've been called to have our faith overruling our sight. That's what the scripture says. We don't walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This needs to triumph over every circumstance that we're currently facing. We need to know what this says and believe what this says and receive what this says. Because this right here is not going to leave us on the outside of the sepulcher weeping and crying, discouraged and depressed and mourning and down and hopeless. It's going to give us hope. It's going to give us joy. It's going to give us great encouragement because God tells us how it all works out. God tells us how to handle it. God tells us he's in the midst of it. God tells us that there's hope because we belong to him. And this is what we see taking place with the early disciples. So you can turn with me now somewhere. Psalm 139. Why don't you turn there with me for a moment? Back when I took an electrical course at Alfred for a couple years, my course was basically electric, period. And it was one part theory, two parts lab. And the theory part of things is when you do the book work and you accumulate the knowledge. And the lab is when you put that knowledge into application. You put what you learned, and now you exercise that to see things produced the way they're supposed to be produced. Things work out the way they're supposed to be worked out. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can fall into error when we have this resurrection theology without resurrection reality. And I think we've got to be very careful because we can't have a faith that is live with a Savior that's dead. And what I mean by that, I mean that, you know, yeah, we can proclaim it, you know, with our mouth that Jesus is alive. But if we really believe it in our heart, it's going to have some kind of an impact with the way that we live, with the perspective that we have, with the way that we handle things. It's going to show itself inside of us by the way that we operate. And I think for us, we can become so familiar with the knowledge of Jesus that we lose the experience of Jesus. And I think that's a dangerous place to be because we can have our knowledge and our facts down, but we never bring it into present reality of the situations and the circumstances that I'm living in and engaging and receiving the very fact that I've got a resurrected Lord with me that's walking with me through everything that I'm currently facing. Because some of you in here, you are facing things. You're going through things. And you don't need a list of facts. You need those facts to show themselves true in your life. And I think sometimes we can get a little bit maybe callous to the reality when we really need to engage the sensitivity level of the reality of what the scripture tells us. I mean, today I could say it as theology that whenever two or more are gathered, Jesus is in their midst. Okay, I can say that as theology, right? And it's a reality. But God wants it to be our experience. And my prayer for us as we gather together, and it's great to see people filling this room today and the kids filling downstairs, is that, Lord, we just don't need to know the facts. We need to experience the one who gave us the facts. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. Because you know what? You leave here, you don't leave Jesus at church. It's not like he's walking the halls and waiting for you to get back here so he can minister to you. No, he goes with you. He says that, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. And, you know, when we dial into that sensitivity, that all of a sudden, you know, we can have that relationship with our living God, you know, the way that Moses did, how they spoke face to face, like a friend speaks to a friend. I'm not saying you're going to see the visible image of Jesus, but I'm telling you, he's going to speak things in here that are so real. You're going to experience things from him that are so true. And when we go through these things, he's going to be our source of comfort. He's going to be our source of strength. Do you remember what Paul said? Here Paul is preaching the gospel, and he's on death row. He's about ready to be beheaded for proclaiming and being faithful to Jesus Christ and his message. And this is what he said. Although all men forsook me, the Lord stood by me, and he strengthened me. You know, there was a degree of comfort and strength that came from God's prison or from God's presence as he laid there in that prison. Why? Because Jesus wasn't a historical figure. Jesus was a present living Savior. And Paul kept himself in close communication and relationship with him his whole life. And when no one else was around, it didn't matter because he had around who he needed around. He had Jesus. The reality for us is that even though we know in our theology he's never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us, lo, he'll be with us even to the end of the age, sometimes our eyes don't see him. But you need to know today he's at work, and there's a bigger picture than what you see. God is so determined to see his work fulfilled in your life, his purposes accomplished in your life, and his kingdom advance through your life, that God is at work. You might not be able to see that, but that doesn't matter. He is at work because there is a bigger picture. His touch of love and encouragement through someone in your life that might bless you, that's him co-laboring with them to touch your life. Throughout the scriptures, I'm sure Daniel, as he got thrown into Babylon, Joseph, as he was sold as a slave into Egypt, he probably didn't see God's plan. But nevertheless, God was unraveling it one day at a time. And the only thing that they did was they made sure that they stayed close to their God whom loved them. So we don't always, our eyes don't always see him. And sometimes our ears, we don't always hear him because he speaks with a still small voice. But you know, there's those times when God meets you right where you're at and he gives you what you need because he knows exactly what's going on. And sometimes he can pull a 180 in your mindset to get you going in the right direction when you're heading off into the wrong direction. So there's that still small voice that speaks to you. And then there's the scriptures. You give Jesus time to speak into your heart. You seek him early, just like they did at the day of the resurrection. You seek him early, and God's going to feed you. He's going to nourish you. He's going to encourage you with his truth, with divine truth, with the oracles of God, which is what each one of us need. And they're going to meet every need of our heart, and they're going to help us with every situation of our life, because that's what God does. He speaks with that still small voice. We got to be sensitive. That still small voice, the scriptures, even sometimes people's words, that's the way that God comes and he speaks to us because he wants us to hear him. Remember in this account, in John's account, Mary thought he was the gardener until he spoke her name and said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, or my Lord. We have to realize Psalm 139 tells us this. Verse 7, where shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand hold me, thy right hand shall hold me. One of the characteristics about Jesus Christ is he's omnipresent. He has the ability to be with his people, going through all things at all times. So no matter what you face, you never face it alone. No matter what you face, like Paul, all men forsook you. Maybe people turn their back at you, but you know what? Jesus stood by him and he strengthened him. Jesus gave him what he needed. Jesus was ministering to him. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, because you know the bottom line is we can't see Jesus in here today. But you know what? We can see the effects. We can see how God can take a life that was an absolute train wreck and he can fix it. He can fix marriages. He can fix homes. There's a lot of things in this room we can't see here today, but they exist. If I had a humidifier here, I could suck the water out of this room. You can't see the water. If I had a FM radio, I could pull the radio waves, the TV waves. All these things are here and we believe they're here, but we can't see them unless we've got the right instrument to show them. And as far as the presence of God goes, the right instrument is your and my yielded heart to him and what he wants to do through our lives that reveals and shows to other people that our Savior's alive, that Jesus is risen from the grave, and that he's with us just as he said he would be. Now you can go to Matthew chapter 28 with me for a moment. We're going to read the first six verses, but I'm going to focus on three words. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Three words. As he said. I said it earlier. Destroy this body. 3 days, I'll rise it again. That's what Jesus said, speaking of the temple, or this temple, speaking of the temple of his body. How he professed that he would be delivered, that he would be scourged, that he would be crucified. 3rd day, rise again from the grave. The resurrection is the validation that the teachings of Jesus Christ are true. And if the teachings of Jesus Christ are true, I can't listen to them in part. I must listen to them in whole. Ezekiel tells us this, For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak, it shall come to pass. The word of God shall come to pass. So we look at the early church, and we see that there was this awesome work of hope that was going to take place right before their very eyes. And they weren't ready for it because they weren't tuned into the scriptures. They should have been there. They should have been camped out. They shouldn't have brought them spices. They should have brought them breakfast on that 3rd day. But like John says in chapter 20, we looked at that they knew not the scriptures. That Jesus to on the road to Emmaus, he had to open up the scriptures to them. And when the scriptures were open to them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? There was like a moving and a stirring of their heart because the word of God was coming to pass before their very eyes. But the thing that we look at here is so often we can give them a hard time and think, my goodness, you had this message of hope. You guys should have been there at that tomb. He told you 3 days. And look at the impact it had on you. You were discouraged. You should have been hopeful. You were down. You should have been happy. You were miserable. You should have been joyful. You had tears. You should have had jubilation. Well, to me, that's the first bookend to hope. That's what took place with the early church, the resurrection. You know what the second bookend is? That's the church at the end. That's the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ. And we're the ones now that should be learning a lesson from the early church that God has spoken great things in the prophetic realm of what's going to take place here on this earth, that what he's going to do for his church, that he's coming back for us. And we can rest in that because he says, I am the Lord, I will speak. And the word that I shall speak, that shall come to pass. He told us that he would return for us. He told us, behold, I come quickly. He gave us the signs of the things that would come. He says, watch and pray that you might be found worthy to escape all these things that are going to take place on the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. So where should our focus be on? Our focus should be on our King Jesus. It should be on knowing him, walking with him, fellowshipping with him, and serving him in anything that we're called to do. In anything less than that, we're going to miss out on the blessing of hope. We're going to miss out, and God doesn't want us to. God doesn't want us to miss out on this blessing at all. We look at the early church and those things that they heard, and the third day he will rise again. That should have done great things on the inside of them. Jesus Christ is coming back. That should do great things on the inside of us. Because the bookends of the church are a message of hope and a message of hope. A message of appreciation and then a message of anticipation. That's where we're to live. That's where we're to live. Jesus is coming quickly, and I know that because he said so. And I think it's very important for us today to recognize that this resurrected Lord, he came out of his tomb. He was here for 40 days. And then in Acts chapter 1, he ascended back up into heaven. And the angel said, what do you do here, standing here looking around? The same Jesus that ascended up before you is the same Jesus that's going to return for you. And it's a message of hope that's been given to the church. Now, turn with Mark with me. Mark 16. So I read that to you earlier about the ladies who were going forward towards Jesus, bringing their sweet offerings and prioritizing him first. Those are the people that see the awesome works of God. And as we're in Mark 16, we're going to pick up in verse 5. In entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white raiment. And they were frightened. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Look at specifically Peter. What did Peter do? Peter failed him by denying him. But Jesus wanted Peter to specifically know this message. You make sure you let Peter know that I'm alive. You might be here today. Maybe you've been denying the Lord in your lifestyle. Maybe you've been denying the Lord by hearing the message, just continuing to reject it. Maybe you're doing actions that are unbiblical and you're just denying Christ. Maybe you don't have the guts or the courage to let people know that you work with it, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You know what God wants to do? God wants to remind you that this is a message for you, that he's not through with you. He's not upset with you. He wants to take you and work in you just like he did Peter. And he's going to take Peter and he's going to have him be the first one that preaches the first message after Pentecost. And all these people come to Christ. And then we follow, we trail the line of Peter's ministry and how he was used in a great way to impact a ton of people's lives for the glory of God and for the furthering of the kingdom. And it was all after he failed Jesus. You see, the problem is we write ourselves off when God doesn't. God knows that we're weak. God knows that we're flawed. But the bottom line is coming to Jesus the way you are and letting him do something different in you, something amazing through you. Now, it says here that go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. If that rings a bell from studying the Bible, in Mark chapter 1, okay, this is the end of Mark chapter 16, but in Mark chapter 1, you know what Galilee was? Galilee was the place where they were called to follow Jesus. That was the place, right on the shoreline, right? They dropped their nets, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they followed Jesus. So he tells them, I'm going before you into Galilee. Look at our Galilee is the place where God first called us. And often I believe God calls us to go back to the place where he touched us, where he changed us, where he called us, where we were overwhelmed by his love, by his grace, by his forgiveness of salvation. The place where we were willing to follow him with absolute unabandoned faith, I will do whatsoever, wheresoever, Lord, for you. I am so thankful that I'm forgiven and that you're in my life, that you're at work in my life. You didn't have to be told to read your Bible. You couldn't stay out of it. You didn't have to be told that, oh, we should probably pray. It was just something you did all the time because you believed in the power of God as he works through prayer. You would worship him. You'd be driving down the road singing your heart out. You didn't care who saw you. You were just praising Jesus because of everything that he'd done. And he's calling him back to the place of first commitment. Maybe God's doing that today with you. Maybe say, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. I got to get you back to the place of first commitment. Back to the place where you had vision. And the kind of a spouse you were going to be. The kind of a parent you were going to be. The kind of a disciple you were going to be. And sometimes I think we can't even go forward until we go back. And we let that moment in our time where Jesus had worked in our life to be something that we remind ourselves. Sometimes that's returning to the joy of our salvation. We have life adversities and trials. We have temptations. They come at us. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you're distracted because of social media and all the devices and the things that are interfering in that Jesus time that you used to have. But I think the question that we have to ask ourselves, too, remember he said, you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what he told them in Galilee. And he told them, I'm going to meet you back at that place. Are you staying true to early commitment? It's pretty simple. Are you staying true to early commitment? That's the place where Jesus called them to. Because you know what Jesus would say if we haven't? He's like, look, I'm immutable. I don't change. You're the one that changed. And I can help you get back to where you need to get so you can follow through on what you committed. Are we staying true to Jesus, his kingdom, and his ordained purpose for our lives? There was a church by the name of Ephesus that was going through all the right motions. You know, they were reading their Bibles. They were going to church. They knew truth from error. And all that stuff on the outside looked great. But on the inside, Jesus said this, you know, you've left your first love. Jesus said, When you and I met, and when you gave your heart to me, and when I forgave you of your sins, he goes, there was something great going on the inside of you. He goes, but that's not going on anymore. He told him this. He says, you need to repent and do your first works. He says, you need to turn back around, and you need to do the things that we used to do in the early days when we would meet together, and I would strengthen you and bless you and speak to you and encourage you. He says, that's what you need to do. I want you back in those times when you could not wait to get up and read the Bible, when you knew that was my word to you, and I had things in there to teach you and bless you with. You worshiped me because you were grateful. You prayed to me because you knew I was powerful, and you served me because you deemed it a privilege. You might need to get back to Galilee, back to the place of original commitment, back to the place when we were more concerned being busy about our Father's business than we were our own business. There's not much time left, and God wants us to finish well. And if we stay the course that we're currently on, we might not. So we need to take a look at the reality of where we are, who we are, where we're at. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to make the adjustments in our life so that we are ready to meet Jesus when he comes for us. Let's close out in John 19. John 19, this is right after the crucifixion. Verse 38 says this, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he asked Pilate that he might be able to take the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which was at first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And they took the body of Jesus, and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews was to bury. These individuals were, Joseph and Nicodemus, were preparing the body of Jesus for burial. And you got to kind of put yourself in their shoes, what they were experiencing. They've got the encasement of God Almighty in their very hands. And as they're cleaning off the blood, as the body was in such bad shape, beard plucked off, back scourged right down to the just the muscle and meat of the back, the skin just lacerated. I wonder if they personalized it as they were addressing the wounds on Jesus, cleaning the wounds, that those wounds they were cleaning were for their transgressions. I wonder if they were washing the blood off of the bruises of Jesus, if it came to their mind that he was bruised for their iniquities. And the stripes from his back, I don't even know how they would have tended to the back of his being scourged over and over with a cat of nine tails. I wonder if they were thinking, personally observing, it's by these stripes that I'm healed. I'm going to tell you something today. This either means everything to you or it means nothing to you, and there is no in-between. And to the person that it means everything to, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. To the person that it means nothing to, you're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to ask you today, where do you stand with this living God that loves you? Funerals to me are bittersweet. It's an opportunity. Last year, I did a funeral. Felt so privileged that I did a funeral for a man who spiritually mentored me the first couple of years of my walk with Christ. It was bittersweet. Like Thessalonians say, we sorrow, but not as those who don't have any hope. So that doesn't mean Christians, man, dry up the tear ducts, man. It's, you know, suck it up and have faith. No, we got pain, but in our pain, there's promise. And because of that promise, there can be sweetness in the sour. And I love the opportunity of Gospels just to share the message because it's good to go into the house of mourning, the scripture says. And we take a little bit, a look here at the house of mourning, Jesus' crucifixion, but that was designed to do something in us. Look at Jesus said, like I said, man, just as he said, Jesus said that if you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God, okay? They're not my words. They're his words. Those are the words of the one who rose himself from the dead the third day after he was crucified to provide you with salvation. I'm going to tell you what. I made this morning. Took me about an hour. This is a surrender flag, okay? And you can either surrender to Jesus or you can surrender to your own will. And by turning your face to one, you must turn your face to the your back to the other. And I ask you today, who are you surrendered to? I am the resurrection and the life. And if a man believeth in me, though, yet he shall die, yet he shall live. Are you born again?
Yeah.
Because today's your opportunity to be born again if you're not. Jesus didn't go through all this to give us some nice story and to help us become nice moral people. He gave us this truth and demonstrated this life so that there come a time in your life where you'd say this, I surrender. I'm putting all my faith in you, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand with God, Jesus is a gift that God wants you to receive. He's not only a gift he wants you to receive, he's a gift you need. Because it doesn't matter if you think you're moral and better than the next person, or it doesn't matter if you came in here and you think you're the biggest scoundrel in the church. The Bible says, regardless, between those two chasms, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you think you're going to get to heaven any other way, you are dead wrong. I'm here to tell you the devil's been lying to you. You've been believing a lie, and you need Christ. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. I want you to consider that today. I want you to consider Resurrection Day being a day of new life for you, that you quit playing games with God. Coming to this church doesn't prove anything. When you come to Christ, he changes you. The experience of a resurrection, resurrected Savior, like Thomas is, my Lord and my God, like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That there's this surrender that now you're the leader. Now you are my authority. And you know better for me than I know for myself. I'm here to tell you today, I don't know what your perspective of God is, but the truth of who God is found in the word that he's given to us. And he loves you immensely, sacrificially, unconditionally. But you need to choose this day whom you're going to serve. You want to serve your own will? I'm just going to keep surrendering to that. And I'm going to keep doing the things. I'm going to keep going the same way I'm going. But I'm telling you, our life's a vapor. And we know not what's on tomorrow. And the most important decision you'll ever make on your life, in your life on this earth, is what you do with Jesus Christ, because that determines where you spend your eternity. A living relationship with a loving God. If that's you today, God will take you just the way you are. And he's going to begin to work in you, transform and change things in you, and bless you in ways that you could never imagine. And I want to encourage you with all of your heart to open your heart to him, to make him your Lord and Savior. We don't want to have a resurrection theology without a resurrection reality. Where we go this week, we take Christ with us. And he's going to be there and be available for each one of us. He sees your life and he's involved because he cares. He's not a God that spun your life in orbit and said, good luck. He says, no, I will be there for you. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I want to encourage you. Go back to Galilee if you have to. Go back to the place of first commitment. Go back to that place where you were overwhelmed by the forgiveness and the grace of God to save your soul. Think about the vision you had. Think about the commitment you made to Jesus. Look where things are today. Allow the Holy Spirit to make the adjustments and receive the blessing of God. Father, we just come before you and we want to thank you that we've got so much hope, Lord, because of Jesus raising again. We want to thank you, Lord, that this is a reality that produces joy in our life that no man can take from us, you told us. And I pray for the lives that are in here today, Lord, that any adjustments that need to be made within our lives, that Holy Spirit, that you come and make those, Lord, that if there's anybody here that has not made a commitment to you, Jesus, that the devil's got blinders over their eyes, that you would drop those blinders like you did the scales on Saul. As we read in your word, God, that it is your goodness that leads men to repentance. And we thank you. You're such a good God. Today, Lord, we want to thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, that you were bruised for our iniquities, and by your stripes we're healed. Lord, I pray as the days go on more and more that message would mean everything to us. If there's anybody in here where the message means nothing, I pray today, Lord, this message would finally become everything. In Jesus' name, amen. May our sensitivity to God's presence be on the incline in our life, and maybe even this very week that you would know that the Lord stands by you to strengthen you, because he will not leave you or forsake you. Enjoy this resurrection day with a guest of honor, and it'll affect the quality of your resurrection day. So God bless you. If you need prayer about anything, if Christ isn't your Lord and Savior and you want him to be, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. God bless. Have a great day.